Jesus. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said of him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because Zacchaeus too is a son of Abraham, and the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The Gospel of the Lord. So today we hear in the gospel how Jesus was traveling through Jericho. And just to give you a little bit of background information about this reading, in order to help us appreciate the impact this reading would have had at the time of Christ, this event, I mean. Jericho was a very wealthy and important town in Israel. It had a great palm forest. It had a great, very famous for its balsam groves. It was famous for its numerous large rose gardens, and it was a real export and import center. An ancient historian from the first century named Josephus, he wrote about Jericho in the first century, and in his writings he said that Jericho was a divine region, and he said it was the fattest in Palestine. So saying all that, it means that if you were assigned to be a tax collector in Jericho, you were very fortunate because you would become very, very wealthy. You would become very rich. And tax collectors were universally hated by Jews. They were lumped together. It was murderers, robbers, and tax collectors. They were all seen as like one group. And in fact, tax collectors were seen as so egregious to the Jews that they were barred from the temple. They were barred from every synagogue. They were not allowed to worship God as a Jew in publicly with other Jews. So why were they so hated? Well, many years previously, the Roman Empire had conquered Israel, and they were now an occupying power in Israel. And the Romans did not collect taxes from their vassal states. They allowed that to be done by the locals. And so if you were a Jew and you wanted to work for the Romans as a tax collector, you could. And then if you were assigned by Romans to a certain town, if you were assigned to Jericho, you would become very wealthy. So each tax collector was assigned to the district, and the Romans expected a certain amount of taxes each year from that district. And then as a tax collector, you could charge whatever you wanted more than that in order to make yourself wealthy. And it worked because at that time there was no radio, there was no TV, no internet, no computers, cell phones, no newspapers. There was no way to make a really public announcement that everybody would hear. And so the ordinary person really had no idea how much they were supposed to give in taxes. And there were lots of taxes. Each person from a teenager until 65 had to pay a tax simply for existing. Your grain and wine and oil was taxed. Each year, your yearly income was taxed. If you used harbors or markets or the roads, you were taxed. And a tax collector, and each cart was taxed, each wheel on the cart was taxed, and each animal pulling the cart was taxed. Import and export taxes were on certain articles, and a tax collector could actually stop a man on the road and make him unpack his cart and all his belongings, and then charge a certain amount of tax for it. And if the man couldn't pay, the tax collector would generously offer to loan him some money, but at an exorbitant Christ. And so the person would just end up further in debt to the tax collector. And of course, the tax collectors could do this because they had the might of the Roman Empire and the soldiers supporting them and being behind them. And so tax collectors were the most hated of all people in Israel. And Zacchaeus was not only a tax collector, Scripture says he was the chief tax collector in one of the richest areas of Israel. He had risen to the height of his profession, and he was rich. He was wealthy. But Zacchaeus was not happy. He was not satisfied. Obviously, he would have been looked down upon by everybody in the district. He would have been an outcast in his own society, and I'm sure that caused some sort of emptiness or loneliness in his heart. But now he hears all of a sudden one day that this Jesus is passing through town. And hope begins to flicker in his heart. And he thinks to himself, I wonder who this Jesus really is. You know, does he really live up to all the stories I've heard? He welcomes sinners. Is there hope for me? Does he have a word for me? What will he say and do to me? And so, despised and hated by all, Zacchaeus is beginning to reach out for the love of God. And Jesus, obviously, he can read hearts, so he knew the heart of Zacchaeus. And he doesn't look at all the crimes he committed in the past, the fact that he was betraying his country, betraying his faith, extorting people. He doesn't look at that. He just looks at what's in Zacchaeus' heart, that goodness in his heart that's reaching out for God's love. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down from the tree, for today I must stay at your house. And so Jesus is revealing to his heart, Zacchaeus, that his heart is open to Zacchaeus. His heart is welcoming Zacchaeus. His heart desires a friendship with Zacchaeus. And that must have just blown Zacchaeus away. And I'm sure that at that moment, light and grace from God must have shone in Zacchaeus' heart. He maybe felt for the first time God's personal love for him. Warmth in his heart, peace, fresh hope entered his heart. And in that moment, he becomes a changed man. And he proves it by what he does. He says, Lord, whatever I've defrauded people of, I'll not only pay them back, but I'll give them four times the amount that I took from them. And half of my wealth I will also give to the poor. So that's a really important thing to do. If we've ever taken anything that doesn't belong to us, whether it's from another person or the government, or been dishonest in our taxes or accounts or duty, part of a genuine change and repentance is being willing to make up for it, which is what Zacchaeus did, and which shows that the Holy Spirit was really working in his heart. And then Jesus ends with these really interesting words. He says, today, salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. What was lost? The original words there, what was lost, does not mean damned or doomed. It means just simply something that is no longer in its right place. You know your glasses are somewhere, you've put them somewhere, but they're not where they should be. But you haven't lost them, they're just not in the right place, and you're looking for them. And so when a person wanders away from God through sin, it means that person is no longer in their right place in life or in their relationship with God. But then as soon as they turn back to God, they again find their right place, right relationship with God and with society. And so today might be a good day to ask ourselves, do you feel or do we feel like we might be in the wrong place in life? Do we feel a little bit lost or empty? Have we ever said or done something that we really regret? Something we've maybe never told anybody else before, and we're afraid that if it comes out, it could ruin our reputation, our life, destroy our family and friends. Well, today's gospel is really for you in a special way because it's saying there's hope for you. Hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. All we need to do is to come to him honestly and humbly the way Zacchaeus did, and Jesus will welcome us. He will fill our heart with God's light and love. He will take away our tears, our regrets, our sins. He will give new graces, a new chance, and a fresh start. All we need to do is go to him honestly, humbly, confess, and be willing to change. And the beautiful thing is that this story also tells us that none of us can earn or none of us deserves God's friendship. It's not like we receive God's friendship because we've done good things in our life. No, we're all Zacchaeus, in our own way. None of us are worthy. We're all sinners. But when we receive his friendship and love, that's when God will go about the business of making us worthy. And so sometimes there's a confusion about that, but that's how it works. And so I just want to conclude with words from a modern-day mystic that Jesus apparently spoke to a modern-day mystic just a few years ago, I think around 2008, 2010, in that area. And this is what he said about that. He said, "Do not give in to feelings of guilt that assail you because you are not living up to the ideal you have set for yourself. I do not ask you to be faithful to an ideal. I ask you to be my friend, to live in that friendship every moment. My friendship is not earned. It is not something acquired by measuring up the standards of perfection you've set for yourself. My friendship is a gift from my most sacred heart, and it's pure gift. Perfection is not a precondition for my friendship, but growth in perfection comes by living in friendship with me." And then he goes on and he invites this mystic and he says, through him to all of us, "Open your heart to my friendship. Seek my face. Converse with me. Listen to me. Remain in my presence before the tabernacle. My heart is at every moment ready to welcome you. If only people would spend some time in my presence before me in the Eucharist, I would heal them, I would purify them, sanctify them, set them ablaze with my love." And so today, the gospel reading is a beautiful reading. It reminds us that all of us are Zacchaeus in our own way. None of us deserve or are worthy of God's friendship, but he wants to give it to us. All we need to do is to open our hearts to that friendship and then live that friendship. And in the process of living friendship with Jesus, our lives will really change and will become the people that God calls us to be. And a very powerful way to do this is just by spending some time each week, maybe an hour each week if we can, in silence before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Sharing our heart with him, asking to grow in that loving friendship with him, listening to his word. So let us ask Mary, who spent 30 years every day in the presence of Christ, to obtain that grace for us, so that our hearts can be healed and that we can be set aflame with the power of his love.